Firstly, I want to say thank you to Matt, who has put together the slides that we're going to see. You've done a great job. Thank you, Matt. The Advantage Plan is the title I've been given for my speech today, and that will become apparent as we go along. Our passage for study is John 16, 5 to 16. Last week, Andy spoke well on John 16, 1 to 6, and as a good Boy Scout, his title was Be Prepared. Do you remember? He told us from his Boy Scout days, Be Prepared was their motto, and it was the motto he gave us for being Christians in the days in which we live. And for whatever comes, be prepared, even if it was persecution. Although the persecution we're getting in this country is nothing compared to what we're hearing about, is it, around the world. But nevertheless, Andy says, be prepared. And the reading this week is from the same discourse that Jesus was having last week, and we'll read it now. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you of what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. John is recounting his discourse when he starts, if you remember, in the upper room. They've just celebrated the Passover together, and at the end, he's telling them that he's going to leave them. And here's a picture I got from a book of Jerusalem in the time of Jesus. Now, the upper room was about there. I'm not saying that's the building, but it was just about there. And they were leaving there, and they were going to go to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane. I've had no word of knowledge. I don't know whether they went along that road and then out that gate and along there, or whether they came down this gate and along here. But anyway, that doesn't matter. They were having this discourse with Jesus as they went along and going to Gethsemane. I just want to think of several things. They were completely filled with grief, so much so they couldn't comprehend all that Jesus had told them. And he said to them, it's good for you that I go away. Now, we can translate that word good several ways, can't we? We can say it's profitable that I go away, or it's expedient that I go away. And here's our title, it is advantageous that I go away. The Advantage Plan. We'll find out about that. The Holy Spirit is called Counselor. Let's look at that word. Counselor. He's not only our counselor, is he? He's our helper. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our strengthener. He's our parakletos. He is the one who stands by us to support us. But they hadn't got this. Not at all. Because they were just so down in grief that this one is going away. I brought this up. The Beatitudes. Where does that come in? Well, you see, this was The Beatitudes was the first time that he got the disciples together and spoke particularly to the disciples on the Mount of Olives. And these things, he said, look, these should be your attitudes. These are be attitudes. You disciples, I want you to be like this. And of course, they had Jesus with them. He was there, he was discipling them. He was encouraging them. He was living out this. And he was helping them to live it out. And so for 3 years, they had ate with him. They'd slept with him. They'd performed miracles with him. And now, he's going away. The one who has supported them. The one who had encouraged them. Prayed for them. He's going away. Can you imagine how they're feeling? And this is, if you like, the final discourse that Jesus is having with them before he goes away. But he said, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. Jesus doesn't elaborate on it there. But John had already made a commentary on it previously in John 7. Let me read it to you. Jesus got up to the crowd and he said to the crowd in a loud voice, if any is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. And John commented on this. John said, by this Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit was not given because Jesus was not glorified. If you remember, Jesus had laid his glory aside to come to be the Lamb of God. We realize that the need for Jesus to go away, because we're the other side of the cross, aren't we? We can understand. They couldn't see it. They were just bowed down with their grief. But he had to go away. He had to go to Gethsemane. He had to go to the cross as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world, for my sin and for yours. Then he came back and spoke to the disciples. And you remember, it was at that point he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Just as God breathed on Adam and he became a living soul. So Jesus breathes on the disciples, the Holy Spirit, and they become born again by the Spirit of God. And then, as we know, after 6 weeks, Jesus is then goes to his Father and he is glorified. And then, as John says, once he's glorified, Holy Spirit can come. And we know the story of Acts 2 onwards, how the Holy Spirit came and they were baptized with fire by the Holy Spirit. It was necessary. Then the disciples knew what a difference it was going to make in their lives and in our lives too. The Holy Spirit coming. The work of the Holy Spirit. He will convict in regard to sin because they do not believe on me, trust in, rely, or adhere to me. In regard to righteousness. Did I click the wrong one? There we are. In regard to righteousness, uprightness of heart, and right standing with God. Because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And of course, Jesus was righteousness personified, never sinned, Son of God. But he was going away. So Holy Spirit was going to show us righteousness to the world. Judgment. Because the ruler, prince of this world is judged. But he's not only judged, he is condemned. Not only is he condemned, he is sentenced already. Pass on him. But some of us might say, but if he's condemned already, why is there so much evil in the world? I'm old enough, and I think one or two of you are, to remember World War II. And I can recall them accounting to us that at the end of the war in Europe, that the last 6 weeks of that war were the most vicious and bloody fighting. And yet the enemy knew they were defeated. But they say, right till the end they were fighting. The devil is the same. He knows his days are numbered. And because of that, He is doing his utmost in every part of the world, in every sort of situation. We know, don't we? But hey, what do we know also? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We are on the victory side. We have the advantage plan, Holy Spirit. Let me remind you of ways that the Holy Spirit convicts the world. Both the Isle of Lewis and the Welsh revivals, they tell us, I'm sure you've heard of it, they tell how the people were walking across a field, or a miner was walking down the street in Wales, when suddenly they collapsed on their knees in tears. Big miners collapsed on their knees, and the Holy Spirit has just revealed to them their sin and their need of a salvation. And we know these stories, how the Holy Spirit comes to the world. Many stories, no doubt you can tell. It's true of all revivals, I believe, that they were preceded with groups of God's people, some for a short time, some for years. In the revival up in Lewis, I believe, dear old ladies, you know, prayerful warriors, praying for weeks, and then suddenly God comes and people are met by the Spirit of God in the fields or whatever. Do you remember the story of Solomon at the dedication of the temple? He said, Lord, your people. And he prayed to God for his people. And we get the answer from God in, what was it? Two Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, what does God say? I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. I'm reminded, as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of about a decade ago, was it? Can't remember exactly. But do you remember, those of us who were around, we had a week of prayer and fasting. Fasting was, well, you know, be sensible if you're pregnant or if you're a child at school or if you're a very industrial worker. Be sensible in the way you fast, but prayer and fasting. And in that week, we saw God move amongst us. And if you want to know more, ask Dave or Jenny, because salvation came to their house that week. And we also had in the prayer meeting that night a lady called Jill. And we found out later that her partner, Richie, pulled up in the car outside. And he said, I couldn't get out the car. Something, I don't know what it was, but I couldn't get out the car. I thought, oh, crumbs. I better try and get home. He said, I managed to get home. And I got out of the car at home. And then bang on his face on the floor. He can't remember how long, but he was on the floor for hours. God was dealing with him. Jean and I had the pleasure in the weeks following to take two couples separately through the marriage course. And if I remember rightly, one wedding anniversary is on the 14th of February and the other one is on the 28th of February. So poor them, they only celebrate every 4 years. No, I'm sure they don't. I'm sure. God comes by his Spirit. Just some of the ways. Have you heard of Akian? Have you heard of her? I'm sure many of you have. Akian was born into a poor but loving family that lived in a shack on the edge of a cornfield in a small town in Illinois. At just 3 weeks old, Akian's mother dropped her on the tarmac on her face, and her face was all smashed up, blood and bruises. And of course the little one cried incessantly all day. Well, that evening they got a phone call from Lithuania, from friends who said, here, there's a lady called Victoria who lives Armenia, who lives in Armenia. And she's had a word for a girl called Akian that God is going to do wonderful things in her life. Didn't mean a thing to them. They weren't Christians. And they were so engrossed with the trauma of their little one that they just dismissed what I said. Even though a couple of days later, they had a phone call from this same Victoria saying, "Look, I've been told by God about your daughter." They didn't believe it. "Today, I met God," said Akian. She was 4 years old. And from then on, she started to have times when she met with God, and she said she went to heaven, and their parents, atheist parents, couldn't cope with it. But she made this statement to her formerly faithless family, needed to say their lives have not been the same since. Overwhelmed by her stories of supernatural, yet unable to find any explanation for her indisputable artistic ability, this atheistic Karamariks, that's their name, surname, faced the dilemma. Either they believe her, or they remain in skepticism and doubt. "Where God takes me," said Akian, "he teaches me to paint." Akian's artworks, the two seen here, she did them when she was 10. They've been on exhibitions around the world, and these two paintings are now considered as global treasures. Her paintings now sell at over $100,000 and upwards. And there's another story of a boy called Colton. Some of you heard of him? You can queue up afterwards and get the book and the film from Matt. He's got both, I believe. But Colton was age 4, and he had a near-death experience. A near-death experience. And he was taken up to heaven again when he was 4 years of age. And afterwards he said, "Well, I've seen Jesus." And his family gave him pictures and said, "Is that it?" No, that's not it. Then they showed him this one on the right. "Yes, that is Jesus. That's the Jesus I have seen." So God meets people. Whilst Akian's time is mostly spent in painting and writing about her spiritual experiences, I'm told she remains innocently unaffected by the public recognition. Instead, she chooses to focus on her life's vision to share God's love with the world. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit comes to one and another. Let's get back to the advantage plan. The Holy Spirit, the person he is, the gifts he gives, and the fruit of living by the Spirit. Who was going to help the disciples? Jesus says it's going to be the Holy Spirit's going to come. Because they're thinking, Jesus is going away, how are we going to keep up? How are we going to be the Beatitudes without him? Well, Jesus knew this. That's why he was sending the Holy Spirit to them. The advantage plan. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, as we've looked, we've remembered. The Holy Spirit is going to be their helper, their advocate, their intercessor, their strengthener, their comforter, their vampire. That's the person he is. The gifts that he gives. Paul tells us he gives gifts for the common good. What are those gifts? Just some of them. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, words of prophecy, tongues, interpretation, gifts of the Holy Spirit for his people, for the church. The fruit of living by the Spirit. In Galatians, Paul says, "I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." And he reminds us what those gifts are of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Little joke there for us. Back a few years ago, 1958, I was in Malta, and I was invited to go to King George VI Hospital to hear the International Secretary of the Nurses Christian Union. And we were all in this big room, filled out with people, just chatting around, waiting for our guests to arrive. And while we're chatting, and suddenly I was aware, couldn't see them. I can remember it today, as if it was yesterday. Suddenly I was aware of a presence in the room, and the whole atmosphere in the room changed. And I turned around to see, and it was just this guy, the International Secretary of the Nurses Christian Association, guy from Holland. But I tell you what a challenge it was to me. His witness. It didn't look like that picture of Jesus, but he looked like Jesus. When that man came into the room, and I thought, wow, this man's walking in step with Holy Spirit. It was such a challenge to me. Finally, just a reminder, you know Bethel Church, we know about it now, don't we, in Reading. And some of the team have been there. I had the privilege of going, and Jean and Britton and Jacqueline a couple of years ago. It's exciting to see what God is doing with them and through them. And by the enabling of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they're living out being, as it were, salt and light in their community. And HEOs of companies and organisations are contacting the admin at Bethel Church and saying, excuse me, do you have anybody who wants a job? They're not particularly worried what their background is or their skills. They will find a job for them if they come and work for them. Why? Because, you see, we've got several of your people working for us already. And since they've been working for our company, and this is more than one company, since they're working for our company, the morale and the atmosphere has changed. So if you've got anybody else, we'd like to employ them. The work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. The disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit, but we don't, do we? Why? Because he's come. And the Holy Spirit wants to be in us to fill us, and on us to empower us to bless others. Amen? Be good to finish off by singing and inviting the Holy Spirit to come and fill us afresh. Do you agree? And if you want to stand, if you want to come out the front, and we'll all pray for one another, for the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. Amen? Amen? And we'll sing it through several times. And just, we just say, we'll make this a prayer, what they're going to sing to us. All right?
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
I was touched by the Holy Spirit when I was 17, and for 2 or 3 weeks I just allowed him in my life, and I would speak in tongues, and oh, I was so blessed, I so loved Jesus. But the denomination that I was belonged to said that it wasn't for today, and that if I was speaking in tongues it was the devil, and I stopped it for 17 years. Oh, the Lord's forgiven me. But don't quench the Holy Spirit in your life. Allow him to move in you. Allow him to have his way. And it's great, isn't it? Let's encourage one another. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, Mold me, fill me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God.
Or just lay hands on one another. Keep on singing and allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me.
Just singing tongues, let's sing to the Lord, tell him Lord, either sing in English or sing in the tongue. Just worship him now and tell him you love him, Lord. We worship you, we adore you, Lord. Glory be to the Father, glory be to the Son, glory be to the Spirit, Lord. Glory three in one, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tuku shulami alamaka salama. Tila makasara marila mokushilama. Ila makasara marila mokushilama. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.